Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
What's up, guys? You've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. What's going on, baby? As you know, this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. If you guys have listened to the Vibration Station, then you know that we have dedicated our lives, yes, our lives, to the very purpose of assisting you in perceiving this human experience in a positive, productive, happy, healthy, wealthy, efficient, and empowering way. That's what the Vibration Station is all about, guys. We like to talk about certain facets of the human experience, and you know, we introduce other ideas, other ideologies about how to approach the human experience, right? Anything and everything from, manifesting wealth using law of attraction, manifesting that perfect relationship, building that perfect life for yourself, we get into it, anything, all the way to talking about spirits, the spirit world, energy, frequency, vibration, quantum physics, sacred geometry. We get into like extraterrestrials and galactic wars. So if you guys are into, really talking about, I use the word truth, right? And I don't use that word lightly because truth is subjective, right? Everybody has their own truth, but what we represent here on the Vibration Station is truth, right? And truth behind how to live a happy, healthy, inspired, empowered, wealthy, abundant lifestyle. Because really, that's what this is all about. This human experience is a huge blessing, right? The fact that we have the capability of coming here on planet Earth to experience the craziness of this world, but also the wonders and the deliciousness that this planet has to offer. We need to find ways to maximize this experience and make it as happy as possible, make it as enjoyable as possible. You know, we are here now, and now is all we have. So having that in mind, I'd like to welcome once again my very favorite co-host since day one, even when we were Teen Trends with Dave and Friends years ago, my dear brother. Not blood brother, but he is my blood brother because he's my spirit blood brother. I'd like to welcome my brother Colin to the show. How you doing, man?
Everything is great today. How about you?
everything is good today as well, brother. Everything is good today as well. As you guys know, Colin is I love having Colin on the show. We vibe really, really well together. You know, I see a lot of myself in him, and Colin is a phenomenal person just overall. He has a really great grasp on life. He is a powerful creator, a very powerful manifester, and there are certain people that you meet in your life that trigger certain emotions and that shine in a different kind of light, and that has always been Colin for me, and that's why I choose, to ask him to come on the show as often as he does, and participate in, you know, being my co-host for the shows that he does come on. And, you know, Colin, you have in general a phenomenal perspective when it comes to approaching the human experience. You know, you're always thinking and talking positive. You're always looking at the bright side of life. You're always looking at the silver lining behind every cloud. And, you know, that's truly what this show represents. So you are a living, breathing embodiment of, you know, the energy behind what we wish to share and share with the rest of the world. So, you know, thank you for being you. And thank you for being here on the show. So today's topic is extremely controversial, guys. All right, we're going to get into the shit. Whew. Excuse my language. You don't know who's listening out there. So as you guys know, here on the Vibration Station, we like to talk about things that kind of stir up your mind, right? You know, like last week, we were talking about dream state. We were talking about communicating with deceased beings, or not even deceased, they're just not deceased, they're just not here on planet Earth, but they're in a different, you know, they're in the spirit realm. We were talking about the case of the dream chemical, right, dimethyltryptamine, and how that's also found in every living and breathing, just about every living thing on the planet, from plants to trees to human beings to animals. And then that kind of led us also into the topic of, you know, what this specific chemical, this dimethyltryptamine does, because when extracted and when used in a ceremonial setting, this specific chemical has been said to open doors to the spirit world, right? Now, what does that mean? For someone that has an understanding of what the spirit world or whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it, a parallel reality, spirit world, non-physical plane, is, then you'll kind of understand a little bit better some of the prefaces of today's show. But if you don't understand it, then that's even better, because then we're going to open you up to some perspectives that you may never have heard before. Maybe you felt them, and hopefully you resonate with the show. I encourage you guys to email me today, specifically, more so than all of our other shows, because of how controversial the topic is. I want to know what you guys think. Dave'sVibrationStation@gmail.com. Once again, the email, Dave'sVibrationStation@gmail.com. And if you want me to read an email live on the air, just say, read it live, and we'll do that. So, guys, today's topic, with all this hype, we're going to be talking about the barrier between, all right, now there's multifaceted, okay, here we go. The barrier between psychedelic drugs versus pharmaceutical drugs. That's going to be the main topic. It's like psychedelic drugs versus pharmaceutical drugs. They're both categorized as drugs. The U.S. government both labels them as Schedule 1, 2, or 3, right? We're going to get into why some of these drugs are labeled in the way that they are. And we're going to kind of just do the pros and cons. We're going to compare what the pharmaceutical companies provide as quote-unquote medicine versus what the planet, Mother Earth, naturally provides us as medicine. So that's one topic of the show. Okay. Another facet which is going to be led into, which has to do with this topic, is what we had touched on last week. Someone that is quote-unquote schizophrenic, right? They are seeing illusions of someone talking to them, or they're hearing voices. To us, they just look crazy. To us, they just look totally wacko crazy, right? But to them, they're experiencing an entirely different reality. So in that same topic, right, we're going to be kind of segueing back and forth from how these certain drugs increase your dopamine levels, which make you see things, hear things, which obviously make you act in certain ways. So we're also going to be talking about, are schizophrenic people truly crazy? Are they hallucinating? Or do they just have a certain chemical that is in their brain that might be out of balance, right? This chemical is definitely out of balance, but does it let them see things that are actually there? Are they seeing things that are actually there that, that all of us could perceive if we had that same chemical? Or is it just an illusion of their own subconscious mind? So pretty loaded topic, pretty loaded show today. And Colin, I'm just going to start this off. I've been dancing on now for about 10 minutes. So what I want to say here is, first of all, Colin, in full humility and disclosure, have you ever had an experience with a psychedelic tool before? Have you ever used a tool, right? All these people like Alan Watts, these great people that have profound wisdom, they're known to be psychonauts. I mean, even Steve Jobs, even though he wasn't said to be the nicest or the greatest of guys when it came to his character, but when it came to his ability to invent, he attributed a lot of his ability to invent to actually the use of LSD. So, I mean, Disney talks about, so it goes on and on and on. So I want to know from you, Colin, have you had an experience tapping into the spirit world using one of these psychedelic tools?
Yes, and I believe it's, I don't know, in the psychonaut community, it's called breaking the third eye.
So breaking the third eye. Yes.
So essentially what that is it's breaking through the veil into egolessness, and,
right.
Breaking through into whatever you, like your purest form, essentially. And what that experience does for you is it gives you perspective of different parts of yourself kind of working together, like a round table meeting of your humility, your happiness, your sadness, all of it together, just like, hey guy, what's up? Like, and then the other one, and then your joy is like, yeah, like let's make all these funny jokes. And I don't know, it's kind of like all of them are working together, but they're all separate, instead of like in our normal world where it's kind of just like we're all of those things mixed together and we don't know how to like separate them.
Differentiate them.
When you break your third eye, you're kind of just all of them are separate but working together and talking, but you can kind of like visualize it. Like I'm just talking. We're like all of them talking. I don't know.
Right. No, that makes sense. And really quick, Colin, would you mind, I'm so sorry to ask, would you mind just pulling your headphone out and putting it back in? It sounds like there might be a little chop right after the words. There's just like this little bit of a chop. So thank you so much. But in response to that, Colin, I have read many books regarding the topic of, you know, diving into different realms of consciousness. Using certain tools to explore different realities. Not only that, but also using certain tools to heal the human body, actually cellular regeneration, which I'm sure you're familiar with. You've shared with me some of the personal experiences that you've had with cellular regeneration and healing the body, and how you know, people in your family, very, very close to you, your loved ones have use the power of cellular regeneration to heal their bodies. And this is scientific stuff. This is fact. This has happened. Colin, are you there with me? Were we able to get the headphone worked out?
Yes, is this better?
Perfect. Thank you so much. So essentially what, in a nutshell, what Colin, what you're saying, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but these certain tools, right, when used properly, right, we're not talking about using them in like a party setting, where this is not the type of thing where it's like, oh, you know, you have a drink, you have a beer, you have a vodka, and you go and you party, or maybe you know smoke a little weed and you go and you hang out with friends. This is not that type of experience. This is something you need to prepare yourself for. You need to cleanse your body. You need to approach it with respect, humility. And this is not something that is to be taken lightly. This is something that truly changes your perspective on the human experience, something that really rewires your consciousness to perceive an entirely different reality that's been in front of you this whole time. You just have these certain veils, which are truly, literally veils over your third eye, right? So what Colin's talking about here is breaking the third eye. What that means is you essentially are breaking through the veils of what your consciousness can perceive. So the experience that Colin's talking about is when your third eye is completely open. Now, what's the third eye? The third eye is known also to be the pineal gland in the brain. It's been referenced for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. You can even see the ancient Egyptians had hieroglyphs of the third eye. It's known as the Eye of Horus, right? So in the exact same way that the pineal gland sits in the brain, there is an actual, you know, an eye that the Egyptians referenced to. So this third eye is said to be the gateway between the physical and the spirit world. When your third eye opens, you're capable of perceiving non-physical realms, non-physical energy, while still in a physical state. When your third eye is closed, you're only capable of perceiving the physical world, right? So, Colin, you talk about this experience of becoming egoless. For someone that doesn't necessarily understand, when you hear egoless, it's unless you've had that experience, it's very difficult to kind of perceive what that's like. So what is it? What does it do to the psyche? What do you mean when you say egoless?
I think it means just, that's a tough question. Okay, so I think it means where your identity becomes null. And
okay.
So I'm no longer Colin. I'm just my purest form of myself. And in that state, you are the most inspired. You laugh the hardest. You cry the hardest. You orgasm the hardest. It's kind of like it's your purest form with no blockages whatsoever. And that, in a sense, that's what ego is. It's a way to ground ourselves in this world. It's a way to talk with each other because we are what language is identifying everything around us and being like, that's a chair, that's a carpet, like whatever. We're identifying everything. And in that sense, when we talk to each other, I'm like, that's a David and I'm a Colin. And that's like how we talk with each other. It's kind of, it makes it so that we can actually be human. But in a sense where when you are egoless, you are, you have like lifted that and you are just the I don't know, it's like you're an animal in a way, like how I don't know, I've never been as cuddly as when a cat is cuddling up to you, and like that kind of like animal version of you is, you can have your highest joy and your saddest sad, and it's just instinct in a way.
That's amazing. That actually reminds me of something that one of the great teachers, Abraham Hicks, talks about, right? I remember in one of her videos, one of her seminars, someone asked her in the audience, what is the vibrational frequency of an animal? Like meaning what type of state, what state of consciousness does an animal traditionally operate in? And her direct response was, animals are always in alignment with their source, right? And this is essentially what we're talking about here, guys. There's certain tools when used properly that can get you in alignment with a greater aspect of yourself. Now, it doesn't mean that this is the only way to achieve this greater aspect. You can go into a very deep state of meditation. You can spend a lot of time in nature. You can meditate in nature, do a lot of breath work. So there's a lot of things that you can do to get to this state of consciousness. But these tools are essentially, used for those that are seeking to access these higher states of consciousness, a greater sense of self-love, a greater sense of love for this planet and all of humanity without necessarily, that don't necessarily know how to do the breath work or how to sit in meditation for an hour or two and really find that deep, deep state of connection with self. So,
I want to correct you.
Please.
I honestly think meditation is every breath that you focus on. And it's not.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't have to be an hour. It can be It can be literally you driving down the freeway and you're feeling stressed. And when you feel stressed, your shoulders are clenched, your jaw is clenched, you feel all this, it's tension inside your body. And what meditation to me is every breath that you focus. So when you unveil your shoulders, you just let your jaw relax, you just let all the tension go and take a really deep breath that you think about, how good does this breath feel breathing in and how good does it feel breathing out? And that is your 10 seconds of meditation. And what meditation is just keep going.
Absolutely.
It's keep
exactly
thinking about 10 seconds, whatever. Yeah, you get it.
No, perfectly said. And what I was referring to, just for clarity, when I was saying an hour, is to reach this state that you get in while using these tools, you might need to, if you didn't use the tools, you might need to sit and meditate for like an hour or two. You know, I was just using the comparison as for someone using these tools, it gives them access to those realms that one could access and could get in if they meditated for, you know, hey, if you're super powerful and you are able to access those higher realms that are unlocked and unleashed when, you know, you use psilocybin or a dimethyltryptamine, you know, then absolutely you can get into that state quicker. But what I was more referencing to is the use of these specific psychedelic tools will activate certain states of consciousness that you would access if you were in a state of meditation for, you know, an hour or two. But yes, meditation in and of itself can be, I've been meditating during the show just because I'm feeling super bright and I'm in alignment with the joy of like how fun it is just speaking on the air with my best friend and just chatting about things that are opening, you know, the realm of consciousness for other people to, you know, perceive things differently. You know, this meditation is totally subjective, and anybody can meditate doing anything that literally brings them joy. Focus on your breath, exactly like you said, Colin. You could be driving, you play music, listen to music, whatever it is that will get you to not be focused on the past or the future, anything that's getting you in the present moment and getting you to embrace the feeling of just being here now and enjoying the deliciousness that this moment has to offer is absolutely a form of meditation.
I actually have an interesting story about that.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so Abbie Hoffman was one of the original psychonauts. He didn't make LSD, but he made it popular. He was kind of like a psychonaut scientist in a way. And he went to India and met with his spiritual teacher. And so Ram Dass did probably more acid than anyone's ever done in anyone's life. But regardless, wow. Abbie Hoffman
and Ram Dass is known to be such a spiritual, Ram Dass, for those of you that aren't familiar, is like one of the great, great spiritual masters. Like if you follow any, you know, conscious or spiritual or awakened social media account, you 100% will see a Ram Dass quote. So just wanted to plug that. But yeah, please go on. I'm very interested.
Yeah, so he went to India to meet with a spiritual teacher, and Abbie Hoffman's perfect LSD dose is 1,200 micrograms, and for what that essentially means 12 hits.
Oh wow!
So
that sounds like a lot.
So he brings it to a spiritual teacher, and he's like, "I really want you to take this. It comes from America. It's like this is how I awaken myself. This is how I do my stuff." And his spiritual teacher is like, I don't really need that, but I'll try because we're so close. And so, he gives his spiritual teacher one of the pills, which is, he had 200 micrograms in each pill. And he gives the pill to his teacher, and the teacher's like, "No, give me all of them." And he's like, "But you haven't tried it before." "Yeah, you haven't tried it before." And he's like, "It doesn't matter. Just give me all of them." And so he takes all of them. And Abbie Hoffman's standing there, like, he's trying to see what
in complete
happen.
Awe.
This person's never done this before. Like, it's like this is a hefty hit. And the spiritual teacher's just sitting there meditating. And after 2 hours, Ram Dass is like, "So how do you feel?" He's like, "This is how I always feel. Like, this is no different than the way that I always feel. This is the natural state of things. So what you just gave me, it didn't do anything to me because this is literally just giving me what I already had." And exactly. I think that is so profound because this guy literally is in this state perpetually.
Exactly.
And I think that it is reachable to just exist that way always.
It is. Oh, without a doubt. Oh, there's absolutely no question. And that, I mean, Paramahansa Yogananda, like all the greats, they talked about using their mind to manipulate physical matter. You know, that's telekinesis. To be telekinetic, to use telepathy, to be able to communicate, you know, with vibration and read minds and stuff like that, you literally have to be out of the third density. You need to be out of the third dimension, and you need to be into a higher, you essentially need to be vibrating at a higher dimension. You need to be vibrating at a higher density, a higher frequency, to be able to access these senses and these abilities that lie dormant within each and every single one of us. And that's another aspect. And Colin, thank you for sharing that, by the way. That is extremely profound. And that your story just shared the point of, you know, today's show, which is we are not condoning the use of drugs in any way, shape, or form. That's not what this is about. We are condoning the use of you doing whatever you can to align yourself with a higher, happier, and greater version, right? So the fact that, Colin, perfect story, you just described this great, great teacher, Ram Dass, who is a known, very, very famous spiritual teacher, someone that teaches spiritual enlightenment. He is in this state. He is in the state of one person would call it a psychedelic state. The yogi would call it normal. The yogi would call it the standard status quo state of consciousness, right? So it also depends on who you're talking to. But your story literally just proved the intention behind today's show, the intention behind talking about what we are talking about, is to spread knowledge in regards to the difference between a drug and a tool is. Now, a tool can be turned into a drug when used improperly, but there is a substantial difference. And Colin, actually, I think this is a perfect segue into the kind of the second part of our show, which I did want to talk about, is how the pharmaceutical companies, which make legal drugs, make these certain drugs for a reason. And they have contracts with the U.S. government, which says, we will mass produce these drugs, give these drugs to the masses, and then we will make these drugs, being, you know, the tools that make you heal yourself and make you see the truth behind, you know, the veils of consciousness and make you really tap into that aspect of spirit. We're going to make those Schedule One, make them extremely, extremely illegal because, you know, the powers that be don't want the masses knowing that they are connected to something greater. It is completely surrounded by the system of control and deception. The more they can deceive, the more they can manipulate masses to think that we are dependent upon them, the more power they have. They want us to be dependent upon their pills. They want us to be addicted. They want us to be dependent upon their financial system. They want us to be broke. And if we're not broke, then they want us to be working at least 40 hours a week. And then because we're stressed from working those 40 hours a week, we need a little helper. So then we get addicted to pills. So it's literally this vicious cycle. It's this loop. And it's been, you know, getting people caught in this loop for a long, long time now. You know, I mean, if you look at any, person in their 70s, 80s, 90s, you will see that pretty much, I'd say about 99% of, you know, elderly people are on a slew of medications. Why is it that just because you start to get old, you need medication? Now, I understand people, you know, now there is a line, and sorry for ranting, Colin. I just want to say this one last thing, because this is important. There is a line, okay? For people that struggle from, you know, for people that struggle from a misalignment within their brain chemicals, which make them either bipolar or extremely depressed or anxious, extremely anxious, whatever it might be, certain pharmaceutical medications can be extremely helpful and necessary. So there is a line, but what I'm talking about is the pharmaceutical medications that are truly made to get the masses addicted, like the opiates and the anti-anxieties and the ADD pills and all this stuff that gets these college students addicted to all this shit. And not only college students, but people that, you know, hardworking people. So I just want to point out the difference between the psychedelic tools, which are known to be drugs, versus the pharmaceutical medications, which are also known to be drugs, and the intention behind why one is illegal and one is not. So, Colin, what's your take on that? What are your thoughts?
I think the only difference between a drug and a tool is the dose. So,
I agree.
Like, that is, well said. That is not the government's definition, but it is, like, my definition is what you use it for. So, like,
yes.
Also, perfectly also, said. I do think a lot of the pharmaceuticals are necessary in a lot of cases, but at the same time,
I agree.
They put us in like reliant holes, and
right,
and that can still go for illegal things, and it's and
right.
a lot of legal drugs are based off illegal drugs, and it's kind of like the reason they're illegal. Like, a lot of them are illegal for a reason. I do not think that heroin should be legal. Like,
neither do I.
But the pharmaceutical version is very useful in some cases. But at the same time, we have an epidemic on our hands, and it's kind of like,
exactly.
How do we control that? It's not really possible. The only thing we can really do is provide like care and knowledge, and I think that's the knowledge is the only way to arm people against this. And I don't know.
That's very true.
The difference. It's so hard because most of the legal drugs are Schedule One in themselves. Like, they are super illegal,
right,
unless a doctor says you need this.
Exactly. Exactly. So that does bring up like an interesting point, because they are necessary in our society, right? There's no question. You know, people rely on pharmaceutical medication to give them what they need, in the sense of, you know, like we talked, if you have pain, and if you have an extensive amount of pain to the point where you can't deal with it, you know, it affects your emotional state of being, your psychological state of being, your spiritual state of being, because you're in so much pain, then I am an advocate for, you know, doing whatever you can to get out of that pain. So as long as it's not becoming self-harmful. So as long as you're not, you know, harming yourself or inducing yourself with something to feel, to numb psychological pain. You know, that's where it starts to get, that's where it becomes a drug, right? Is when people use it, when people use a physical pain pill to get out of psychological pain. You know, that's where it becomes this addictive cycle. And that's where the habit is very dangerous. And another point that I'm going to lead into with this stuff is a lot of the pharmaceutical medications that are created in today's society, just like you said, are actually based off of they're based from roots and trees and certain things that are found in nature, like the molecular structure, the compound for a lot of these pharmaceutical medications are mimicked from what's found in nature, like the valerian root, right? That's an anti-anxiety. Most prescribed anti-anxieties are a concentrated chemical reproduction of what the valerian root does to the brain. Same thing with a lot of the opiates that are prescribed. You know, it's essentially the same molecular structure that a poppy plant offers, just in a pill form with other stuff that makes it even more addictive. So I guess what I'm saying is there are so many tools that this planet has to offer to get us out of pain, to realign our brain chemicals, to get us out of depression, to get us out of being in a constant state of anxiety, which are things that we all deal with every single day. And if you're not specifically dealing with something, then there's definitely someone that it is. But everybody deals with something. Everybody has something. And that's why there is a huge epidemic going on, not just opiates, but I mean, a lot of pharmaceuticals. And I guess what I'm getting at is there for every pharmaceutical drug out there, there is something in nature that is not widely known about, but can be used to give you the same effect that that pill would give you without all the crazy side effects. And I'm just going to use one example. For example, there's this stuff, it's called kratom. And I didn't know about it until just recently. Kratom is a plant it's a leaf that comes off the kratom tree. It's found in Southeast Asia, Indonesia, and a couple other places in the world. They are able to mass produce it, or mass grow it, I should say. And this leaf essentially triggers the opioid receptors, but it's not considered an opiate. What it does is it just tells the brain to take away pain, and it actually, under MRI brain scan, it lowers the part of the brain that triggers addiction. So it actually is an anti-addictive. It has anti-addictive properties, and it takes away pain. And then I watched this documentary on it, and all these people are talking about, yeah, I used to be on opiates, I used to be on all these pain pills, I would wake up feeling so shitty, and you know, and I would just need my pills and blah blah blah, and they're so expensive. And then I started drinking kratom, and I don't wake up feeling shitty. I'm able to take my pain away. I have more energy during the day, and I'm no longer addicted. And I mean, there's literally like thousands of stories out there, and that's just one example. So this also obviously ties right back into psychedelics and what we're talking about and stuff. So kratom is legal, but these other psychedelic tools are not. It's been proven that psilocybin can heal depression. People from the army would come back, they would use psilocybin and MDMA and it would heal their post-traumatic stress disorder. It would heal all these things without them having to be on reoccurring every single day. You got to take a handful of pills. So I guess that's just where I'm coming from is here. I said at the beginning of the show. Yeah.
Oh, I find it interesting that a lot of these things that are found in nature are only illegal at a certain point. For example, poppies, like you said, there are different kinds of poppies, and a lot of them do have some kind of inherent drug in them. You could, you could grow poppies in your garden legally, but when you pick them too early, they're illegal. Like that moment that you pick them too early, you don't let them bloom, that's illegal. Obviously the opiate side of it that that one type of poppy does, but there's also these poppies that grow in California that are all over the mountainside, and if you pick them too early, they are also illegal because they produce LSA, a natural form of LSD. And it's very interesting that they are only illegal when you think of them, or when the government sees that you are trying to like get the effect that they naturally produce. And until that point, if you're just, I just had poppies growing in my garden. They're just so pretty. I like them so much. Like they're not illegal. And I feel like that's the way with kratom, or there's a lot of other things like, like marijuana, how it used to be. It's just like, it used to be like a weed. That's why it's called weed. It used to grow everywhere. And like in when America was forming, it was like just as popular as tobacco. It was like, it was our early presidents, they used to trade it like tobacco. Like
exactly.
It was as good as currency. And
yes,
it's very interesting that the government puts all these holds on how we can grow plants, and the same with certain cactuses. You can go to Home Depot and buy San Pedro, and if you were to dry San Pedro, that's illegal. But you can go buy it at Home Depot for very cheap. Just grow it in your garden. Oh, it looks so pretty. I love this succulent. But once you dry it, nope, you're done. You can go to prison.
Wow. That's insane. It's so fascinating to think, too. It's like, there's obviously an agenda behind all of these rules and regulations. There's obviously, it's not just like they decide one day, okay, we're just going to make this stuff illegal because we can make money off of people that are doing it. No, there's an agenda. They don't want the masses to have access to these tools that show you an entirely new perspective of yourself. They don't want you to have access to these tools that offer you this feeling of enlightenment. When you feel enlightened, when you feel empowered, even if you did get it from, a mushroom that grew from the ground that gives you these silly side effects, that all of a sudden you feel you're having tremendous insights and you feel very happy with yourself and you feel empathetic for things in life and you think about people and you want to purge energy and you want to cry and you want to like apologize to them. It makes you feel emotion in ways that you never feel before. When you can tap into that love, you literally open up so many doors within yourself to where you realize how much of an illusion this experience is. And that's really what it comes down to, is, you know, these tools are used to break down the sense of illusion. It makes you realize that this experience is an illusion being projected by your consciousness. That's why when you think of something and you really focus on it and you let it go, it appears in your reality. That's why when you think of someone, like, I mean, how many times a day will you'll hear a commercial and then you'll open your iPad or your iPhone and you'll go on Google and then like the same exact, there's just so many alignments, you know, or you'll think of someone and then the day after they'll call you, or even like a minute after. And there's just so, it's all vibration, it's all frequency, everything is energy. Every single aspect of the cosmos and the universe is a vibrational frequency. It's all electromagnetic energy, and it's all different spectrums of energy. And thoughts are energy, things are energy, thoughts are things. What you focus on is what you get. when we use these certain tools that assist consciousness in activating parts of the brain that were previously dormant, you start to see that this world is not what you once thought it was, and that you are absolutely interconnected to a source that is infinitely and unconditionally loving. And that's the piece that so many people tend to forget about as they go through life. They forget that connected to them, not only connected to them, it is them, their original organic state, their source, is one of absolute unconditional love and compassion and joy and happiness. Just like you were saying earlier, Colin, you laugh harder than you've ever laughed. You cry harder than you've ever cried. It's because you're feeling the emotion of source. It's like you feel that God, whatever word God means to anybody, call it God, call it the universe, call it the cosmos, call it the prime oversoul, call it the creator, whatever you want to call it, that all that isness, that energy of life, the energy of creation, it flows to us and through us, and these tools assist us in tapping into a greater alignment, which just means being able to feel that godliness, that source, in a much closer way, being able to tangibly feel that non-physical, compassionate energy. Would you agree? What do you have to add, or would you agree, or would you? I love what you have to say.
Well, I wanna tie it back into, like, basically, there's this whole new, it's not new at all, but there's a class of drugs that is kind of on the forefront of all of this, and what you're talking about, and what we were talking about before, and they are called nootropics. And
right.
Nootropics are kind of a touchy subject with the government, because they are inherently, they are classified as non-receptor binding drugs. So like heroin, they respond to the part of our body that says, oh, I need, like, they help with your pain because there are things in ourselves that say we need this to feel not pain, or
right.
And then once you do it, it keeps asking for more. And what nootropics
right.
do is they don't bind to anything; they just affect us. And that's
so
why
it's non-addictive.
It is non-addictive, but
right.
the government is still trying to make them illegal. But that they have no reason to make them illegal because they are non-receptor binding. The reason
right.
that a lot of these drugs are illegal is because of the receptor binding facet of them. And
right.
what nootropics, it's sad because they need to come up with another reason why these should be illegal. This should be illegal because it makes you feel good, or because it makes you more alert. Like, oh, like,
right.
yeah, but why? Because it makes me more alert, but it doesn't, I'm not addicted to it. There's no way I can chemically get addicted to it. So you can't make
exactly.
it illegal. And they're just like, well, whatever. Like,
we're going to
do it anyway.
Exactly.
We're going to find a way.
No.
We need a reason. Like,
it's true.
I mean, just think about, like, how weed became illegal. It's
right.
pretty interesting. Like, it became illegal. Because
real quick, Colin,
sorry,
I'm sorry with the no, we just have 1 minute left on the show, and I just wanted to share with the people before we had to go. For those of you that aren't, sorry to cut you off, brother, you know I always want to hear what
you're
saying.
No, you're good.
With the just for people that aren't familiar, what nootropics are is they're essentially brain enhancement pills. Like they just assist you in it assists the brain in firing more neurons, firing more electromagnetic signals. They're non-addictive. They're not considered drugs. They make you happy. They also give you energy. They are really, really well known, and they're really used in the Silicon Valley tech community, you know, for people that are looking to enhance their brains and access greater knowledge, kind of similar to the movie Limitless with Bradley Cooper, if you guys are interested in that, but is unfortunately 1:50. So, oh my gosh, man, the time just goes so quick. But Colin, I want to say I love and cherish you with all of my heart, brother. Thank you so much for taking your Sunday afternoon and sharing with us your wisdom, your experience, and your profound understanding of this life. And we really, really appreciate you and love all your knowledge, brother. You're the best.
Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you, Colin. And you too, man. And for any listeners out there, I did see a couple emails coming in today, so I appreciate that. We'll go ahead and read those, and I will respond. Feel free to email me anytime, davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. And, you can also check us out on Twitter, at Good Vibe Station. Just Good Vibe Station. Check us out on Twitter, guys. All the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Make sure to check us out next Sunday, 1 p.m. PST, Pacific Standard Time. Love you guys so much, and thank you for hanging out with us. While we talked about a pretty psychedelic topic. Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Peace.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.